From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruiak. Now you can sit back. We're about to be treated to a free lecture from an author who was once selected as Sierra College's Instructor of the Year. The Oregon California Trails Association also chose him as Educator of the Year. He is Gary Noy. He's the founder and former director of the Sierra College Center for Sierra Nevada Studies. He has been a recurring guest on Insight for a number of his books and has a new one out now. So welcome back.
Thank you, Beth. I'm delighted to be here.
First time that we have an opportunity to work together. I think the title of this book says everything. Go for it.
The title is Sierra Stories, Tales of Dreamers, Schemers, Bigots, and Rogues.
So many stories, you couldn't even fit them in a couple books, could you?
No, this book is a collection of 64 stories, and there are literally thousands of stories. Every city, every county, every family, every person has a story. You have a story, I have a story of their experience in the Sierra. And one of the delights of putting this book together is I get to hear from people all over the region who tell me their stories. And many times I haven't heard them before, but I always learn from them, and they're always fascinating.
Kate Hayes Street is the first story in the book and a place that people are familiar with. So begin with some of that story.
Well, for me, this is where it began for me, because I was born in the Sierra. I'm a Grass Valley boy. And around the corner, literally around the block from where I lived, was this little alley called Kate Hayes Street, which leads up toward the Empire Mine. And when I was a kid, I would walk by that, and it's kind of dark and mysterious. I didn't know what it was. But then when I got older, I found out who Kate Hayes was. And Kate Hayes, Catherine Hayes, was a world-famous Irish operatic diva during the Gold Rush era. And she became a favorite of the miners during the Gold Rush. She was Irish-born. She was a sensation in Europe. She ended up going to Australia, where she is considered one of the founders of show business in Australia. There's a hospital named after her outside of Sydney. She's an extraordinarily popular figure in the Gold Rush, and there were mines buildings and hotels named after her, and including this little bitty street, Kate Hayes Street in Grass Valley. This is the story that got me interested in these unusual stories of the Sierra Nevada.
It's also a street that a lot of people have a connection to or a connection to her. So when you go out and talk about it, you hear from them, don't you?
Well, yes. In fact, a few years ago, I told the story of Kate Hayes Street. And afterwards, a woman came up to me who lives on Kate Hayes Street. And she moved there when she was a little girl. She had absolutely no idea who Kate Hayes was. And she said that when we moved in, that when their family moved in, her mother, who had never shown any interest at all in opera, all of a sudden became interested in opera. And one opera in particular, which is Lucia de Lammermoor, which is Kate Hayes' signature opera. Mm-hmm. And all growing up, this woman told me she heard the strains of this Donizetti opera in her house. And she says, tonight, from me, she said, I've learned from you who Kate Hayes was.
Oh.
And what I'd like to think, she said, was that the reason my mother loved this opera so much, it was the spirit of Kate Hayes singing in her ear, which is just a lovely story. So.
The stories in your book are only about as long as that. You don't do these exhaustive research pieces on these characters. It's kind of like a fun one- or two-page read on somebody you might say, did you hear about so-and-so?
Well, yeah, and some people have said it's kind of like a Paul Harvey rest of the story thing.
That's true. That's a good comparison.
This was by design. We wanted it to be a term we used all during the production of the book was referred to it as being quasi-encyclopedic. And so it's little short pieces with some sidebars on similar issues. By design, we wanted this to be not a great academic tone, but something that was kind of easily accessible and short, hopefully entertaining, informative reads.
In fact, it's not all people that you write about. There's a great noble fir that you write about, too.
It's a sequoia.
The sequoia.
It's a tree that was called the General Noble Tree, and it was named after a former Secretary of the Interior named John Noble. And it was cut down in 1893 to be an exhibit at the Chicago World's Fair to prove to people that there were trees that big. And so they cut down two stories worth of this beautiful organism, hollowed it out, put a staircase in it, and then put a little roof on top so it became a tree house. And it was on display at the Chicago World's Fair. And then after that, It was transported to Washington, D.C., and was put on the Mall right next to the old Smithsonian building, the Castle building there, and was a gardener's shed for the next 40 years. And so one of the stories of kind of exploitation of the resources, but also the curiosity of people trying to figure out what this Sierra was all about.
Yeah. I think you have a picture of it, too,
in the book. I do. And in fact, the photograph, all the stories are are illustrated by historic images or photographs. And that one in particular is very difficult to find an image that was publication quality. And so I was about to give up, actually about to remove that story from the book. And I contacted the Smithsonian, and they said, well, we don't really have anything. But then the curator said, you know, I think there's something in our archives, buried in our archives. Let me look. And a couple of days later, they got back to me with an image that, to my knowledge, has never been published before, which shows the General Noble Tree gardener shed house. And in the background is the Smithsonian Castle, and in farther in the background is the U.S. Capitol building. And it's a spectacular image of this artifact of Sierra Nevada history.
And he only charged you?
$7.50.
Yeah.
That's very unusual. Usually the rights to these images are quite expensive. That was amazing.
So. You're listening to Gary Noy. His latest book is Sierra Stories, Tales of Dreamers, Schemers, Bigots, and Rogues. There's a book launch party Friday night at Sierra College in Rocklin. You might have heard about an event at the Empire Mine State Historic Park surrounding the book on Saturday. That event is sold out.
It's completely sold out.
You'll have to schedule another one because we have so many people who love the stories. And you write about obscure things. There's a story I read that you told that I guess isn't in this book, but it is the Christmas nugget.
There's a wonderful story. I love these human stories. And it takes place during the Gold Rush near Georgetown. And on Christmas Day, a family gave birth to a 12-pound baby. And,
wow.
And women were very unusual in the Gold Rush, and so a child was even more rare. And so news spread through the Gold Rush grapevine that a 12-pound nugget had been discovered. And that was the baby, of course.
Isn't that great?
And so from all around the region, miners heard about this 12-pound nugget, and they wanted to see it. And so they descended upon this camp near Georgetown, and the family, the mother and father, decided to play along with it, to have some fun with it. So they made the miners stand outside in a line, and they went through one by one to look at the gold, the Christmas nugget, as it was called, as a Christmas Day baby. And when they went through, they were instructed to keep it a secret, don't tell anybody else, and tell everyone that the Christmas nugget is just beautiful. And that went on for several days. And I think it's just a lovely story.
It's a great story. It speaks to the grapevine, too, that happened through Gold Country, how word spread.
For sure. I mean, one of the powers of storytelling is that it was also a news network. And so that people could hear the stories about the communities they were going to and some of the events that took place. I think it was a real conduit for information, these stories.
Gary, I want to read what Heyday Books wrote. Someone wrote on the blog about your book and about your storytelling. Along with the fun, we feel in these stories a sense of the courage of people, a compassion for those whose hopes were dashed, a rage against the assault upon Native people and the brutal suppression of the Chinese, in all, a love and respect that Gary, as a Native son, has for the place in which he has lived so deeply and to which he has devoted so much of his life.
Wow.
You could have, their point is you could have made fun. These are stories and characters that could have been jokes or ridiculous in history, but to you, they've been precious.
Well, I think so. And I think I have enormous respect for the people who came to the Sierra. And part of it's from my personal history. I was born in the Sierra, but my parents were not. And my mother came during the Dust Bowl Okie migration from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And my dad was part of a Cornish mining family that came to work in the gold mines. So they came out here for a better life. And they came out hoping for an experience that would enhance their life. And so I have enormous respect for the people who took a chance and came out here to reinvent themselves and to get a new start and to cast away the old way and start a new way forward. How can you not respect that? I mean, it's just immensely courageous to go somewhere unknown to an unknown fate. And it's just all part of our history. And history is a story. And sometimes the journey is very smooth and beautiful, and sometimes it's rocky and frightening. But it's all part of the experience that has led us to our space in place in space at this specific moment. It's all part of what has made us part of the Sierra.
Beautifully said. So come back again sometime and share more stories with us,
okay?
I would
love to. That would be great.
A book launch party again Friday night at Sierra College. More information on our website, capradio.org/insight. Always a pleasure to have you here, Gary.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.